Welcome to The Property Line, a commercial real estate podcast brought to you by Seyfarth Shaw's Real Estate Department. The Property Line is a brief discussion of current market trends, bringing you insights from our acclaimed national team of real estate attorneys. Each episode focuses on a key takeaway for the busy real estate professional. Now, on to this week's discussion.
Hello, and welcome back to The Property Line. With the summer over and school back in session in most places, the thought was that workers would return to the office. However, the COVID Delta variant has caused many companies to further postpone an official return to the office. On today's episode of The Property Line, we will discuss the office leasing market and whether office leases are being negotiated differently. My name is Eric Greenberg. I'm a real estate partner in Seyfarth's Boston office, and I'll be your host today. I'm joined today by Kevin Wolf, a real estate partner in Seyfarth's Chicago office. Kevin is also the chair of the Chicago Real Estate Department. Over the past 6 months, Kevin has negotiated many large office leases and will share his recent experiences. Thanks for joining, Kevin. Now, let's address the elephant in the room. Is there such a thing as office leasing post-COVID or still during COVID?
Absolutely. Now, it exists in pockets, and one of those pockets continues to be lease modifications. We've seen this going back to the start of COVID and really sort of peaking over the second, third, and fourth quarter last year, but those continue. However, more encouragingly, we're also seeing strong leasing activity in the life sciences sector in particular. Think hybrid office lab space, where really smart people need to physically collaborate to develop and test biomedical products.
Right.
I think this link to physical need is the key, where you have white-collar workers who need to collaborate in person in order to do what they do. Those office environments will continue to thrive. And obviously, with what's going on with the vaccine push, the boosters, everything else, we think we're going to continue to see a lot of activity in this space for the foreseeable future. Other examples where you might also find some activity are entertainment, engineering, environmental. And that contrast with industries where remote seems to be working just fine. I mean, kind of like our industry. Legal, there hasn't been a huge rush back in the legal space. Accounting, same thing. Most of the big four are still fully remote for the time being. So that's sort of, it's hit or miss. It depends on, it's industry by industry. But where they need to be in person, the office market is certainly back up and running.
It's good to know. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about how retail leases have changed during the pandemic, and we've had several episodes of The Property Line really focusing on retail leases, especially restaurants and stores. What is different in a post-COVID office lease, or are there issues that are similar? Tell us a little about what you're seeing specifically with office leases.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And it's much of the same as in the retail space in terms of the focuses are on force majeure or anything that you cannot control, right? So just as in a retail lease, force majeure has had a renaissance, so too has that provision had a renaissance in the office space. And the resolution of that is similar, where, you know, and I've often referred to it as a pandemic prenuptial. I'm seeing that in office leases as well, where the parties are trying to agree in advance, what do we do if this happens again? Now, it's a little bit different insofar as in the retail space or anything that is open to the public, so to speak, as and when shutdown orders came, and as they start to possibly come back again with Delta, that typically affects retail far more than it affects office. So it is a different type of conversation in the office context, but it's a conversation that is being had nonetheless. There's also this balance of leverage. I mean, right now, even though you have a few pockets, a few industries that are hot in office leasing, if you're outside of those spaces, the tenant likely has leverage because there's just an awful lot of traditional non-lab office space on the market in most major cities, whether it be in the leasing market or the subleasing market. And so that tends to favor the tenant. Now, there's also this thought, and I'm seeing this creep into office leasing more and more, where the tenants want fewer restrictions or, to put it the other way, more freedom on how they use their space now and in the future. There was a time not so long ago when a lot of people were moving to these open concept offices. Well, in the age of COVID, that's not real popular. So, but who knows when the pendulum will swing back? Who knows how we're going to work, when we're going to work, with whom we're going to work. And so the tenants that are active want kind of carte blanche to go and do whatever they want to do in 2021, in 2025, in 2029, as things change without having to go back to the landlord and ask for permission. Now, obviously, there's the standard carve-outs. You can't touch the structural or the building systems if you're doing that. But if you're just moving partitions around or moving furniture, certainly they don't want to have to get any sort of landlord approval. And then I'd say the last piece of it that is definitely, and this cuts both ways, it's definitely a topic of conversation, is just relief on timelines. So it's related to force majeure, but specifically relates to construction. If landlord has a delivery deadline, if tenant has a build-out deadline, they are both requesting relief if there's another or further supply chain issues. And it's both supply chain in terms of materials, but it's also labor supply. Everybody's suffering with the labor shortages out there right now. And I think there's a general consensus on both the landlord and tenant side that the labor shortages, the supply chain issues, those are truly outside the control of either party. And thus, neither party should be fully penalized, or at least they're baking in additional grace periods before that happens.
We've noticed that the golden rule certainly applies to that situation in terms of time periods to do work. But are you also seeing that there's less sympathy once rent commences for to delaying the actual start of paying rent, though?
Definitely. And then that's where when I referred to earlier that pandemic prenuptial concept, it is definitely less prevalent in the office space vis-a-vis, you know, retail. And that's only because in retail, where I've seen the market migrate to is there's got to be a black and white trigger, and that's a government shutdown. And we just never really saw those in the office space, at least not nearly to the extent that we saw them in the retail space. By way of example, in Chicago, where I'm sitting, law offices were considered essential businesses throughout. So our office never had to close, whereas most of the retailers had some restrictions, either full or partial, placed on them over time. So there's definitely less forgiveness and less willingness on the landlord's part to talk rent concessions post start of the rent.
Now, are you seeing what we're seeing in the retail side is that urban core downtown areas are still soft and the suburban market is very hot? Are we seeing similar activity on the office front? Are more people wanting to work closer to where they live and we're seeing more deals, or is it still a mixed bag?
At least in what I'm seeing, it's still a mixed bag. I think that to me, it's less of a question of how far do I drive or commute. It's do I commute at all, right? And right. And here's the interesting thing, and I'll use Chicago as an example since this is where I'm sitting. But in the latter half of 2020, apartment vacancies were at not an all-time high, but pretty close. Condos were being sold left and right. And there was this exodus from the urban core. In the first half of 2021, that has completely reversed. People have returned to the city. Now, what's interesting is it's not just young folks coming in from the suburbs. Some of it is. Some of it's folks that millennials that went home to live with their parents at the onset of COVID and now want to get away from their parents and are coming back to the urban core. They miss what the city provides. They miss that interaction. And oddly, I say oddly, seems odd to me, in Chicago, a lot of the net growth are folks coming from other states who have decided in this era where I can work anywhere, I want to be in an urban location, which I think that surprised a lot of us and continues to surprise. So at this point, people have come back to the city. The restaurants, bars, et cetera, are slowly catching up. They're not anywhere at full strength yet, but they are catching up. And I think those two trends suggest to me that the urban core in terms of office space is going to come back. And I don't think it's going to be undercut by suburban locations. Again, at the end of the day, when you set COVID aside, when you look at what has driven the growth of the urban core, in many cases, it's firms and companies have workforces that live all across a metropolitan area. That hasn't changed. And the urban core is where the transportation goes to. So if you're in Chicago and you've got workers who live on the southwest and north sides, it wouldn't make any sense for you to move up to the northern shore, because that makes it really hard for a good chunk of your workforce to get there. So I think the urban core, you know, as they say in real estate, location, 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 the urban core, cities is still going to have that advantage.
All right. So one final question. And I remember when the pandemic first started, everyone thought they kind of knew or thought sort of in 3-month increments. In 3 months, things were going to change for the better and we're just going to get going with our lives. And it became clear after several periods going from summer to fall that the one thing that was clear was COVID's been unpredictable. So with that in mind, I am going to ask you to look into your crystal ball and tell us, when do you think people are going to return to the office? And when is the, you know, downtown area is going to be vibrant again?
I wish I knew. So here's the thing. A, I don't think it's going to be a flip of a switch, right? Companies are thinking in terms of, okay, we're going to set a date, and that's the date that everyone's going to magically reappear. I think companies are going to set dates. I don't think people are going to magically reappear. I think just as COVID has affected everyone differently, both in terms of health and sort of psyche, I think that people's return to the office is going to be similarly mixed. I think some people have already started to return. Some people are all in. Some people are one day a weekend. Some day folks are 2 days a weekend. I think we're going to continue to see that gradual buildup over time, but I don't think we're going to see a mass. At the start of COVID, there was a date, and it was like a date when everyone sort of left and didn't come back. I don't think it's going to be the same way on the return. However, I do think that we are going to get back to some level of in-office occupancy, even for those sectors that I mentioned at the outset, legal, accounting, et cetera, where remote seems to be working just fine. I think we will reach critical mass. I think it will be a lower percentage than what we had before. If before, on your average day, you had 90% of the folks in your office, it may be 70% post-COVID. But I do think we're going to get up from the 15% that we may be at right now. I also don't think it's going to be 5 days a week anytime for the foreseeable future, and maybe never again. We've figured this out too well. We know how to work remotely. Our spouses and our kids have gotten used to our flexibility to be there for certain things. And I think that will continue. I think that's going to be a net positive that comes out of this whole horrible COVID thing. I think we will be a more flexible workforce. So I think it'll be 2 days a week, 3 days a week, 4 days a week, whatever works for a given company or a person. And I do think it's coming back, but I think it's going to continue to be gradual despite whatever dates companies may set.
And that's also going to mean that some of these changes in the way how we think and negotiate office leasing, it's going to stick around for a while. So it'll be an interesting space to watch. But we're at the end of our time. Kevin, thank you for joining us. We're going to wrap up right now. Thanks for your insights. A special thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Please keep an eye out for future episodes. And until then, be well.
You have been listening to The Property Line, a production of Seyfarth Shaw's Real Estate Department. To be sure that you don't miss future episodes, visit our webpage at seyfarth.com, where you can subscribe to The Property Line on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, or SoundCloud. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating and share the podcast with your friends and colleagues. We look forward to having you with us again soon.